It's good to see you all this morning. If you have a copy of the scriptures, turn over to Matthew chapter 7. It'll be our text that we'll be looking at this morning, Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. We're actually going to have a parallel passage that we'll read after we're done with that. That'll be in Luke chapter 6, but we'll start off with Matthew chapter 7 this morning. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24, it says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." And in Luke chapter 6, we'll do a parallel account, parallel statements. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 46. Luke 6, verse 46 says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who has dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without a foundation, against which is great when the great stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." So we read through this. The setting here is Jesus is finishing up his Sermon on the Mount. And he's going to tell the listeners here, you've got some options. You can either hear me and be obedient to me and be like the wise man, or you cannot hear me and do not obey my words and be like the foolish man. We sing that song as children, about the wise man building his house upon the rock and in the sand. And you remember how that goes. That's what we're going to pay attention to this morning. Hopefully we can get some lessons learned from that this account as we've read this morning. It would have been unwise building a house without a proper foundation in those days. It would be very unwise for us building some sort of structure with a weak foundation today as well. In the Palestine, they were oftentimes would have dry summers, and they may have dry stream beds or river beds. And if you were to go out and build your home on a place of this nature, and thinking you had a secure home, what would happen in the fall whenever the rains would come? It would wash the home away or beat the home down. Instead, what would be wiser is to find a rock foundation, either digging down, as we see in Luke, to that rock and then building up from there, or having that wise foundation. We have those choices today. We build foundations all the time. Whether it's a structural building that we're building a foundation on, whether it's a foundation of relationships, whether it's a foundation of a spiritual nature, we're all building foundations every day of our lives. What kind of structure do we put down? What kind of foundation do we have? If we build a foundation on lies and deceit, how's that going to turn out in our relationships? It's not going to turn out very well. If we build a business on lies and deceit, and not being trustworthy, how's that going to turn out at the end? When we build our spiritual foundations, if we don't set those foundations like we should, and build it on the right foundation, how's that going to turn out for us in that day? So he's going to, as he concludes his sermon here on the Mount, and he speaks to them, he wants them to build on a strong foundation. What's the difference between the two men here? You've got a wise man and you've got a foolish man. As Jesus, as he introduces this thought, he says, if you're wise, you're going to listen to me, and you're going to obey me. If you're foolish, you're going to listen to me, and you're not going to obey me. You're not going to follow through with these teachings that I am commanding. These things that I have set forth, and these principles, and what we will continue to teach you, you're not wise if you don't not only listen to those things, but follow them as well. Are we wise in our decisions that we make, or are we foolish? Sometimes we don't see past our own the next 24 hours. Sometimes we don't see down the road in anything that we're doing. If we're wise, we are. We're looking down the road. Not just what looks good now, what happening is now, but down the road as well. Well, let's look at a few things, hope that we can apply for this teachings and this scripture that we read this morning. First of all, doing the will of God. It's more than just hearing the will of God. It's obeying it as well. The same was true whether we talk about the people that he was talking to, Jesus was talking to, or us today, or people that we try to communicate to the way. It's more than just hearing the word of God. It's putting those things into action. It's making some practical applications. When a teacher is presenting a lesson, or a preacher is presenting a sermon, do we hear what that individual is saying? Do we hear what they're saying, or do we just listen to them and then we go down the road and we don't pay any attention to that whatsoever? Or do we recognize the need to make those applications? As we open up the Word of God and we see something that we need to change in our lives, how do we respond to that? I read it, but I don't want to make any change in my life. We're like the foolish man, are we not? If we hear something taught in a class, we've been studying over and over the last several months, and we'll continue on for the next few weeks on one another passages. We're not taking those basic that information that we're learning and making applications to one another. We just heard a series of sermons on the home. If we don't take those types of things and make those applications and make changes and corrections and go forward in our lives, are we like the wise man or are we like the foolish man? What good it is to be told the things of God, but we don't respond to that. You go to the doctor and the doctor says, I've got some bad news, you've got a severe illness. What is your response? The wise person is going to listen to that educated individual. You've got cancer, we need to treat this. I'm okay. I think I'll be okay. Is that a wise decision? Or is that a foolish decision? What about when we hear the Word of God preached to us or taught to us? I'm okay. I don't need to make any kind of change in my life. I need to stay in the same lane that I've always been in because I know what I need to know. And there's nothing that you're going to tell me that I need to change. You ever studied a Bible subject or someone got up to teach a Bible subject or preach from it and you shut them off right then because you knew everything about that subject matter? We have to be very careful. We like to point our finger at the religious world today, but we're just as guilty when we hear something taught and we say, you know what, I'm just going to put this on autopilot. I'm not going to listen to a single thing that this individual is saying because I know what I need to know. Oftentimes, though, we take these lessons or we hear these things and we think, you know what? We look across the aisle. We look and see, you know what? That applies to that Christian. It certainly doesn't apply to me. Aren't we all guilty of that sometimes? We look down at our noses and say, you know what? Brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, I hope they heard that sermon. And I hope they change. And it might have been directed at me, or it might have been directed at you. That's why when we receive the gospel, when we receive the good news, does it apply to me? Don't be so prideful where we don't change. Look over at James chapter 1, starting in verse 22. James chapter 1, in verse 22, we'll read through verse 25. James chapter 1, starting in verse 22, it says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. And not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Don't just hear what the Word of God is. Don't just hear it. But obey it as well. Make a change in your life. Over to the 81st Psalm. Psalm 81, we'll start in verse 11. Psalm 81, starting in verse 11 through 14. Psalm 81, 11, it says, "But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would not have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries." How many times did the Lord tell them over and over, don't do these things? They heard what He said. They really didn't listen to what He said. And then they ended up in bondage. They ended up in captivity. It's because they really didn't want to follow what the Lord told them. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. Whether it's serving gods, whatever the case may be, interacting with the other nations around them, they had their own thought of what they wanted to do. They weren't listening to what God was trying to tell them. What kind of listener are you? Have you already shut me down this morning as I look at your faces? Do you have a scowl on your face? Are you interacting with me as I try to interact with you? Are you a passive listener? You ever thought about that? What kind of listener am I? They come into service and they never give a second thought of what's going on at all. As we come here to worship God. Why are we here this morning? We're here this morning to worship God, are we not? As we offer this service to the Lord, what are you thinking about right now? When is He going to be done? I've got a clock. But I'll speak until we're done. Are you thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow? What do you think when Old Testament Israel, the priests, were when they were worshiping God and they were going through these things, what do you think that they were thinking of? So when we come together and we're listening to God's Word preached, what are we thinking of? Are we taking this information in? Are we saying, I hope Sister So-and-so's listening this morning? Are we passive in our listening? How about selective? If you're married, you know what selective listening is, right? Usually the husbands have selective hearing and they have selective listening. You women, stop smiling. It's because the husband hears certain things, right? The children hear certain things. They only hear what they want to hear. Did you hear me tell you that? No, I did not. I'm sorry. We've all been there and we've all done that. We pick and choose what we want to listen to. Is that any different in the Lord's services today? When we study the Word of God, when we're listening to the Word of God, is that any different today? Are we selective in what we want to hear? We read a passage and it says, yeah, I agree with this, and I agree with this, but let's turn the page and go on to something else. Because I know what I know. Back to that Bible subject matter. Do you know everything about this particular subject? And you've already shut the listener off. I've been through a series, and we had one here on baptism. I was at a congregation one time, and we had baptism every Sunday. It's like, I'm vomiting baptism because I keep hearing baptism sermons over and over. And it was like 6 or 8 baptism sermons. I didn't know you could do 6 or 8 baptism sermons when I was hearing this, but we did. But there was more we could learn from that particular subject matter. Let's not shut off when the speaker's up here, even if he is boring. How about the aggressive or the active listener? You come to hear what the Word of God is going to teach us. We have an open heart. We have an open mind. Is that when our scriptures are read, points are made, and it's something that we can change in our life to help me be a better Christian and help my brothers or sisters be better Christians as well, then we're active listening. We're doing what the Lord wants us to do. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Here Luke tells us, therefore he reasoned in the synagogue, this is Paul, with the Jews, and with the Gentile worshiping in the marketplace daily with what happened to be there. That's verse 18. Let's go back to verse 11. Then they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Do you receive the Word of God with all readiness? Are we like these New Testament brethren who received the Word and they searched those Scriptures to find out whether these things were so? Numbers chapter 32 verse 11 says, none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, for they did not follow me fully. They didn't follow me fully. And guess what? They missed the promised land because they didn't follow the Lord fully. You spend 40 years wandering around a desert and you don't get to enter the promised land. How would you have felt? You spend your whole life serving after God and you don't get to enter the promised land is because we weren't listening to what the Word of God told us. How sad is it when we fail to do those things that we know are right? We've got plenty of time and opportunity to do those things. Next is that we need to build upon the proper foundation. Today that we're told all of life's answers or the questions that you have can be answered in social media, they can be answered on the internet, they can be answered in a book. Most of them can be answered in a book. We've got it up here they're studying this morning. On television, you can find out what you need to do to be a productive member of society, be a perfect citizen, by all of these means. If you're going to be happy, if you want to find true happiness, how do you find true happiness? It's in wealth. That's what the world would want us to know. That's what they're trying to tell us. But Jesus had something different in mind. As we study in our Bible class this morning, He was here to do the will of the Father. He was here to serve and be submissive to the Father in serving Him, because He had a greater mission in mind. He kept that in the forefront. He understood, don't you know, He thought about us, each of us today when He was hanging on that cross, when He was teaching these things. He was thinking about Christians of all time, and that's why He did what He did. He was the proper foundation. Jesus had a different perspective than men had then, as well as men have it today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 10 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 10 it says, "According to the grace of God which was given to me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one of you take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. He's the only foundation which the true church can be built." Because any other foundation is going to crumble. Any other foundation is going to fall. If you build your church, if the church you think you're building upon is not, the foundation is not Jesus, then it truly will fail. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 19. Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 19. "To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. To Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, according to the power that works in us. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout the ages, world without end. Amen." Christ, there's no other thing that we can go to when we think about Christ. When we think about what He has done for us. Those blessings, those don't end on this time side of eternity. Back in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, "Now therefore you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit." That foundation was laid by the apostles. We have Jesus is that foundation. He's that chief cornerstone that everything is laid upon Him. Through the preaching and inspired Word of Christ, they laid the foundation. But Jesus was the foundation. You can go build a building and you can lay the foundation, but you're not the foundation. See, Jesus is the foundation. He is that chief cornerstone which was going to bind that structure together. If it's not there, what happens? It's going to be very weak. It's going to fail. It's going to fall. Finally, is that we need to be mindful that we're going to have storms of life. And those storms of life are going to test our faith. It's going to test our belief. It's going to test everything that we know and everything that we love. It's because we have those storms of life. When the rain comes down, and the flood comes up, what have we built our hope on? What have we laid that foundation upon? Where do we go when the world falls apart? When our world around us falls apart, what do? Do we get in the fetal position? In a corner? Suck our thumb and do nothing? Is that what we do? Do we go to some wise sage and say, "Oh, wise sage, what should I do?" The Lord's given us what we can do. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're promised trains here. But we're promised that we're going to have troubles and struggles in our life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Yet on all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecutions." He's promised us that. Some of the struggles in life, it's because we put up those upon ourselves. We go looking for trouble sometimes. But sometimes it's just Satan tempting us. It's some Satan just putting up trials and tribulations in our life. Matthew chapter 13, in verse 20 it says, "But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, he immediately stumbles." There's going to be struggles in our life. Health struggles, physical struggles, mental struggles, personal struggles, spiritual struggles. We're going to have those in our life. If we have a proper foundation, and we're tested by the storms of life, how are we going to handle those things? Psalm 46. When you look through the various psalms, especially psalms that David pens, we see over and over that God is our refuge, God is our strength. Over and over, if you go through and you underline those things in the various psalms, you're going to see over and over what the psalmist thought of the Lord. When they looked at the Lord, what they felt from Him. Certainly, David had a lot of struggles in his life. Some of them were self-induced, but he had a lot of struggles in his life. And how did he feel about the Lord? He relied upon Him. In Psalm 46, it says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and through the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there's a river which streams shall make glad the city of God. The holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. He has made desolations in the earth. He who makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Do we truly see the God of Jacob as our refuge today? Do we truly see Him as our strength when we're having struggles and troubles in our life? Is that truly the way that we feel about the Lord? Because whatever struggle that we're going under, that's happening to us every day, likelihood is someone you know has had those struggles as well. Someone may be going through those struggles just as you're going through them. Or someone else has been through those struggles at some point in their life. And they can be helpful, they can be encouraging to us, they can kind of give us direction in our lives. In Luke chapter 8, this is the account where Jesus was with His disciples in a boat. And they had some storms as well. They were physical storms, but I think we can make some applications. In Luke chapter 8, in verse 22, it says, "Now it happened a certain day that He got into a boat with His disciples. And He said to them, 'Let us go over to the other side of the lake.' And they launched out. But as He sailed, He fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to Him and awoke Him, saying, 'Master, Master, we are perishing.' And He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But He said to them, 'Where is your faith?' And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, 'Who can this be? For He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey Him.'" When they thought they were about to perish, Jesus was taking a nap, but He was close by. What did they do? They drew close to the Messiah. They drew close to Jesus. When we think we're about to perish, like they did, whether it's physically, whether it's spiritually, whether it's emotionally, whatever the case is, do we draw closer to God? like the disciples physically did? Do we draw closer? Or do we go further away? Maybe we're having sin, maybe there's sin in our life. And instead of going closer to the Lord, we go further away. But that's not what we should do. We should draw closer to Him. What happened when they started trying to do things on their own? Their boat filled with water. They were certainly in big trouble at that point. They went to Him. They came to Him during distress. They didn't know that the storm would obey Him, the wind and the waves would obey Him. But the reason that they knew that is because they had storms in their life. They had wind and rain, and the waves came down. And by that happening, they knew Jesus could calm those storms. You and I have our storms in our life. What happens? We go to the Lord, we seek Him. And then when those storms are calmed, we know that the Lord can do that for us. Storms give us a longing for heaven. You ever thought about that? Our storms in our life should help us long for heaven. When we have tears on this earth, and we look to a time and a place where there's no tears in heaven. But if you never understood tears on this earth or never had that issue on earth, what would you look forward to? If you never had physical struggles on this earth and you're going to a land where there's no heartache and suffering and pain, would you really appreciate that as much? Would you look forward to that time where you don't have these physical limitations, these physical ailments? You're able to walk. You're able to talk. You're able to do all these things. We have a greater appreciation and sorrow as we're here, and we sorrow while we're here on this earth. And we can look forward to a time where there will be no sorrow and there will be no pain. We receive that blessings of that glorified body when that day comes. Are we prepared when the test of life comes, when the storms of life come? Are we prepared for that test? The only way to make sure is to make sure that Jesus is that firm foundation and we're seeking after Him. So are we going through the storms in our life today? Maybe the Lord has sent us a storm so we will draw closer to Him. As we step back and think about our storms of life right now, maybe the Lord is sending that to us so we will draw closer to Him. Maybe that storm in life is just because Satan is attacking us. Our resistance is down, or maybe our resistance is up, and he is testing us and he is trying us. Maybe that storm in life is just a part of life. Maybe that's just because we live in an ungodly and a sinful world. Maybe that's because it's just part of this life. Whatever the storm of our life is right now, don't give up, because eventually it will get better. It will. So we think about why there are different respects, or why were there different responses to the teachings of Jesus then? And why are there different responses to the teachings of Jesus today? Well, I think one is the respect of the lawgiver. When we think about those in Jesus' day, whether they chose to respond to what He was teaching them, or us today, do we truly have the respect of the Lord and the Bible in order to respond to those teachings? Another thing is the recognizing the authority of the Word of God. We have the inspired Word of God that we pattern our life after. That's going to judge us, that we live after. That we recognize the authority. Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among them. But they didn't respect His authority. We have to realize the importance of Jesus' sayings. We have to be regardful of the spiritual things that we hear. So when we build, don't we want lasting results? When we build our family life, don't we want lasting results? When we're building our physical homes, don't we want those to last? When we're building our spiritual homes, don't we want that to last as well? When we're building our relationships, we want those to last, typically. We want those relationships to last for a long time. How is it built on? And when we're building our eternal destinies, we want that to last as well. So when we think about eternity, what are we building that on? Back to James chapter 1, and the lesson will be yours. James chapter 1. Verse 25, it says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that one will be blessed in what he does." When we open up the Word of God, and we hear the Word of God, are we a forgetful hearer? If we are, we need to work on our listening skills. If we are, we need to learn to be very obedient. Not just hearing what the Word of God tells us, but obeying it as well. That's our lesson. If we can assist you in any way this morning by obedient to the Word of the Lord, we're going to invite you to come as we stand and sing a song of encouragement.